President Trump's most important job is going to be the trickiest. It's the area where the president can make the biggest progress, but it's also where he can be misled into catastrophic errors. I'm referring to his nomination of literally hundreds of federal judges, including nominations to the U.S. Supreme Court. The good news is that you can help AFA Action's constitutional experts research nominees and give advice to the president. But to do this analysis, AFA Action needs your help. So please visit afaaction.net to donate today.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a good Tuesday morning. I wanted to read to you from Genesis chapter 1. It's day 6 of creation. God has created everything except man, and he says this in verse 26, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." God speaks in the plural because God is Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, blessed Trinity, as we sing that song. "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I want to speak to you today on the subject of trans insanity. You know, we've done some programs where we've used that little phrase from Susan Powder. She was popular in the 90s, and she had an infomercial. It was all about diet and exercise and losing weight. And she would say, "Stop the insanity." Well, we want to talk about trans insanity. Now, one of the first things that Donald Trump did when he was sworn in as president is he declared by executive order that there are only two genders, and we're going to stop the trans insanity. Well, so you sign an executive order. Does that change everything in America? Obviously not. The trans movement is a demonic movement. You know, when Jesus cast out a demon and the disciples said, "Well, why couldn't we cast it out?" He said, "Because of the littleness of your faith." And then it adds in the book of Matthew, "But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." And, you know, there are some demonic strongholds that just don't go out because by executive order you say that doesn't exist anymore. And we're seeing that in America. Listen, the trans movement, it's really overtaken. It was the lesbian and gay movement. LGBTQIA+ is the letter, as Charlie Kirk calls it, the alphabet mafia. But it used to be lesbians and gays, and now it's just trans is the new thing. We don't even talk about kids being gay anymore in school. It's, "Oh, you're a trans. That's why you're having problems. That's why you're questioning things, is because you're really a female trapped in a male body, or you're really a male trapped in a female body, and you need to live out your true self." The trans movement is demonic. It's a lie. And John 8:44, Jesus spoke and he gave us insight into how the devil works and what he does. He said to those Jews who were arguing with him, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me." We had a caller call in yesterday, and I appreciated his call, and he asked the great question, "Well, what can we do? What can we do as Christians to make a difference in where we live for Christ and to make a difference in America. And obviously, as we talk about on this program all the time, we shine for Christ. We share what great things the Lord has done for us. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven, Jesus said. And so shine is the way you live. It's the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him that goes forth in every place we go when we're walking in the light with Him. And that is very, very important. You know, we don't have much witness if we're not living it out. There was a phrase that used to be popular many years ago, and it had to do with people saying, hey, the trouble with you Christians is you have a lot of talk, but you don't walk it out. And so, you know, the little poem I like says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather you go with me than merely point the way. The eye is a more ready pupil than ever was the ear. Good advice is often confusing, but example is always clear. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And so our shine is very, very important. We shine and then we share. We tell what great things the Lord has done for us. We let people know, hey, you want to know why I'm different? It's because of what Jesus did for me. So obviously we do that. And how else do we make a difference? We pray. And as I said yesterday, you can do more than pray after you pray, but you can't do more than pray before you pray. And so we need to pray. And we need to pray for our leaders in government, as the Bible commands us in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for protection. We need to pray as the evil one wants to destroy our country. And then we need to stand up and speak up as we sing that song, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And we stand up and we speak the truth in love, no matter the cost. And trust me, it will cost. It will cost. It will cost you friends. You know, we online friends, Facebook friends. Facebook friends, much of the time are not really real friends. Because you don't really know them that well. I have a lot of Facebook friends, but, you know, I mean, supposedly I have 5,000 Facebook friends. I don't know 5,000 people. And so anyway, people, you know, ditch me all the time because I'll put something on Facebook they don't like, and I'm not going to follow that guy anymore. And that's okay. So, you know, it will cost you friends and friendships. It can cost you a promotion at work if you stand up and speak up and stand for the truth. It can cost you your job, so it can affect you financially. It can cost you as you move on down the road. It can cost you your freedom. You could get arrested for speaking the truth in love, as we've seen around the world. People, social media posts in Germany cause the police to come to your house and arrest you if they don't like what you have to say. And it can cost you eventually your life. As you stand up and speak up for the truth, and you speak up and say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but through Him. As you said, you say with the apostles, there is salvation, Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And you preach that, and you tell people that any other way to heaven other than through the shed blood of Jesus on the cross and through His resurrection is a false gospel that will lead you to hell. You say that, and you say it in love. You don't say it in, you know, trying to make everybody mad. You're not obnoxiously saying that. You're passionately and compassionately telling people that. There's only one ark of safety, and that's the Lord Jesus. All other ground is sinking sand. But you say that, and you're going to you're going to hit a nerve, and people are going to come after you. Now, I saw a school board meeting that took place in Deerfield, Illinois, and it was at Shepherd Middle School, and a woman who stood up for her 13-year-old daughter and stood up to the trans insanity got up before the school board and called them out for what they were doing to her 13-year-old daughter. Now, as we're going to hear, I'm going to play what she said to the school board. Well, after she came up, then a trans person came up, and there were a lot of trans people in the audience that Nicole, the mother, Nicole Georges, is going to tell us. They were bussed in here. They're not from the school district. They don't have kids in the school district. They really have no business being here other than to kind of load the deck against the sanity of male and female, boys and girls, separation between the sexes. There is no crossover. Well, this is what Nicole Georges said at the school board meeting in Deerfield, Illinois.
Our next participant is Nicole Georges.
Hello, my name is Nicole Georges, and I'm here to demand that the locker rooms and bathrooms at District 109 be designated as biological male and biological female, as there already is a gender-neutral option. The girls want their locker rooms and bathrooms back. They want their privacy back. This is why I'm here tonight. My 13-year-old daughter's well-being and mental health and privacy is at stake. This nightmare began on February 5th when my daughter was using the girls' bathroom and was stunned that a biological male student was using it as well. She came home frightened and was extremely upset. I asked her to talk with her teachers and find out more information. She was told by the administration that a student can use the bathroom as well as a female locker room because they now identify as female. I was sent an email to the teachers involved and received a call from Principal Wegley. He verbally reiterated that under Joanna Ford's direction and their legal counsel that the student could use both the locker room and bathroom. I expressed that the school was in clear violation of federal policy. The Trump administration issued an executive order restricting biological males from participating in sports and accessing female locker rooms. That day, I filed a civil rights complaint on behalf of my daughter with the Department of Justice. It has now been referred to the Department of Education. A federal complaint has been filed with the district to protect the students. The situation went from bad to worse. A few days later, the male student was present in the girls' locker room. Feeling violated, the girls made the choice to not change into their PE clothes with a biological male student present. The next day, Assistant Principal Kathy Vantrese pulled the girls into their office questioning them. The same day, Assistant Superintendent Joanna Ford, Kathy Vantrese, and multiple teachers all came into the girls' locker room, making them change into uniform. This went on all week with the addition of Ginger Laugerman. My daughter refused to take part in having her privacy being violated. How dare they? She ran out and called for me for help. Principal Wegley was offering my daughter a new PE class. The answer was no. She is not changing for the remainder of the year, and she is not changing into another class. The girls just want their privacy, and they want their locker room back. There are gender-neutral options. This is my daughter's story and the story of many other young girls who have been forced at the difficult age to do something they know and most adults know is wrong. Do the right thing, Deerfield, and give these girls their locker room and bathrooms back.
That was Nicole Georges talking to the school board at Shepherd Middle School, in Deerfield, Illinois, talking about her daughter at Shepherd Middle School. It's just unbelievable that the administrators there, the people in charge, she mentioned those names of those women, forced those girls to undress in front of that guy. Just sickening. Well, this is what she had to say. She came on the show on Fox, Laura Ingraham, and this is what she had to say.
Well, I was attacked by an angry mob of woke, basically vigilantes that were bussed in from different communities. Most of these people didn't reside here. They did not have any children that even lived or went to school in the district. There was very few people that actually spoke to kids actually went to the district. So I'm not sure how they could ever be dictating what goes on in my child's school. It was I was the only one that actually showed any poise and grace. I got attacked most of the time. It was pretty alarming.
So hats off to this mom, Nicole Georges, for standing up for her daughter and standing up for the truth. As I said, this is a demonic issue. The devil's fingerprints are all over this. The trans insanity, transgenderism. Now, my heart goes out to people who are struggling with this, but you don't have to struggle. Just yield to the truth of who God made you to be. As President Trump said a few weeks ago, hey, boys and girls, God made you to be who you are. Embrace that. You're beautiful. You're perfect just the way you are. You don't have to alter that. You don't have to question in your mind, well, maybe I'm really, I shouldn't be a male, I should be a female. Maybe I'm really a female, shouldn't be a female, should be a male. You need to just take that out of your mind and just yield to the truth that God made you male and female, and it's not a complex situation. Well, we're talking about trans insanity, and the devil is truly after your kids and your grandkids, and we need to be aware, and we need to be engaged in the fight. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about trans insanity. And as I said at the top of the program, Donald Trump, first day in office, said, hey, there are only two genders, sign an executive order. But that doesn't mean that that's an issue that is finished and over and won in America. We still have lots of people that are pushing this lie, and it is a lie, and it does destroy. The devil's fingerprints are all over it, because what does the lie do to a young person, and especially a young person? An older person can buy into this lie and mutilate their bodies, and they're making a terrible decision, but it's a decision made by an adult. When a kid does that, when an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old does that, they don't know what they're doing. And they don't understand the damage they're doing to their body, and it's irreparable. I was reading in the book The Eclipse of God this morning by Erwin Lutzer. Erwin is going to be my guest on Friday as we talk about this great book, The Eclipse of God, Our Nation's Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity and What We Must Do About It. Well, he has a whole chapter in there about transgender insanity. And he says, you know, this is something that can be forgiven, because it's not the unpardonable sin. If you buy into the lie of transgenderism and you go all the way down the road of taking drugs and having surgery, that can be forgiven. But guess what? Your body parts don't grow back. You're going to live with that for the rest of your life. And it's just like the devil. He wants to destroy kids before they're ever birthed, kill them in the womb. You know, and even this idea, as the governor of Virginia said, you know, the mother ought to be able to make a decision about her unborn child and even her born child if she wants that child to live. It's infanticide. It's barbaric. But disease that is in the minds of so many people, the demonic disease that's put into their heads. And so we have that, and if you can't kill them at the point of birth, before birth or at the point of birth, then let's destroy their lives before they get out of the starting gate with this transgender insanity. Now, the governor of Illinois, we showed what happened at the Shepherd Middle School at the school board meeting in Deerfield, Illinois. And the just unconscionable acts that these administrators took with this 13-year-old girl and with the girls at Shepherd Middle School. I mean, if I were a parent and had my kid in that school district, I would take them out immediately. But this is coming from the governor. He is all in on transgender insanity. This is him speaking at a recent rally, and all excited about this is what we're doing for trans rights.
We expanded Medicaid to cover gender-affirming surgeries. We brought inclusive LGBTQ+ curriculum into our schools so that all students now learn about the contributions of queer and trans trailblazers from Marsha P. Johnson and Harvey Milk. The State Board of Education is implementing gender-inclusive policies to ensure that our schools are welcoming and affirming. And I'm proud to say that my administration is the most diverse administration in state history.
That was the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker. And he's just passionate patting himself on the back. This is what we do, and we're welcoming all these lies. He doesn't call them lies, but that's what they are. We're welcoming the devil's lies into our schools so that we can destroy more kids. That's the truth. That's what's happening. And so what do we need to do? We need to pray. We need to stand up for Jesus and for the truth of the gospel. We need to stand firm. We need to speak the truth in love, as Nicole Georges did. And it wasn't a friendly crowd there, because the other side loaded the decks with trans insanity. And so we want to drown you out. We want to make you look like you're the Neanderthal if you hold to this God made them male and female. Oh, well, good night. You're going back in time. We've progressed past that. And you're still this Bible-thumping idiot that believes there are only two genders. You know, I still remember the Oprah Winfrey program, when she was talking about there are many roads to heaven, and a Christian in the audience, lady, you could tell she was nervous, but she stood up and she said, just because you say there are many roads to heaven doesn't make it true. There's one way to heaven. And Oprah Winfrey just looked at her with incredulity and said, there just can't be. It can't be like that. Well, it is like that. And truth is not what you think. It's not what you feel. It's not what you say. Truth is what God says. And sanctify them in the truth, John 17:17, as Jesus prayed that great high priestly prayer, prayed to his Father, sanctify them in the truth, set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth. And Jesus himself is the embodiment of truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. We speak the truth in love. That's our challenge before the Lord. And as the saying goes, so true, truth is hate to those who hate the truth. Truth is hate to those who hate the truth. Now, Matt Walsh is a name many people know, Matt Walsh from The Daily Wire. Matt Walsh, who's produced two great movies. The first one was titled What is a Woman? And the second one was titled Am I a Racist? Am I a Racist is very funny. What is a Woman really shined the light on the transgender insanity. And Matt Walsh has a unique ability. He's pretty just out there. He's very, very blunt. He doesn't seem to mind if he hurts your feelings. He's not trying to be rude on purpose, but he doesn't mind really pressing an issue. And so here was a town hall that he did, or some kind of meeting that he did, I don't know, a year or two ago. And he was talking to a trans EMT worker, and I thought their interaction was quite telling.
How would you define a woman? Because you've asked other people up here to define how we would define a woman. How would you define a woman, Mr. Walsh?
An adult human female.
And how don't trans people, how doesn't a transgender woman fit that definition?
Female. Because they're not female. They have, you said that you are a biological male, correct?
I said I'm transgender. I might be intersex for all we know. About almost as many people in the world are transgender as intersex. And
well,
a lot of people don't know.
Well, but that's a different conversation. Intersex, that's a genetic anomaly, that's a medical condition. So that's a completely different conversation. That's also not a third gender. That's just a genetic anomaly that occurs within the sex binary of male and female. What you're saying is that a quote-unquote trans woman is a female?
By the definitions I'm familiar with, yes.
So how would you define female?
Through my training in healthcare, there are several different categories for how we define sex. People bring up chromosomes. People also bring up hormone levels. People bring up all sorts of other categories. Lots of people don't fit neatly into a gender binary, even people we don't consider to be intersex. It's a complicated spectrum.
It's not complicated, but you also didn't define. So what is a woman? What is a female? What do these words mean?
It's complicated, and I know you're not going to like that answer, but that's because there are no simple answers in human biology.
Let me ask you a question.
You guys,
hang on.
Just let me finish. You guys like to bring up high school level biology classes a lot. I get that a lot. But people who go on to more complicated biology classes will talk about sex as a spectrum.
It's not.
Well, biological researchers would disagree with you.
There are male gametes and female gametes. Oh, I had one last question.
Wait, Mr. Walsh, can I ask a question?
You don't want questions. I just have one quick, can you come back for 1 second? Because this is an important question. You said you're an EMT. Okay, if you're responding to a health emergency, biological male, somebody with a penis is having a medical emergency, and they say to you, I think I'm having a miscarriage. Would you check them to see if they're having a miscarriage? Would you consider that a possibility for them?
Look. No, but...
No, he says. He has to admit no, because he knows that's not a biological female. I thought that was a very interesting back and forth that Matt Walsh did with this guy, who's a medical guy. He's an emergency medical technician, and he's trying to make the case for transgender insanity. You can't make the case for that. It is insane. It comes from people who have been, in my opinion, given over, Romans chapter 1, to a reprobate mind, a mind that no longer functions, called a depraved mind. That's a mind that can't add things up morally. 2 + 2 does not equal 4 in their moral makeup when you have a reprobate mind. And so they will fight to have biological males play female sports, fight to have biological males in female locker rooms, in middle schools, in high schools. And I have 3 daughters and I have 2 granddaughters. And no way in the world would I sit idly by if that were happening in the schools that they went to. I would go to the school board meetings. I would be in there and we would, with our kids, we would immediately take them out of school. You know, the Shepherd Middle School in Deerfield, Illinois, they would have trouble if all the parents removed their kids from the school. And then you have the remaining trans kids that have this disease in their mind. You got a lot of people working at the school for a handful of kids that are really struggling mentally. We need to speak the truth in love. We need to help kids that are struggling by telling them the truth. You know, there is a condition, and this was brought up in the movie What is a Woman? There is a condition in medicine called body integrity dysphoria. Body integrity dysphoria is a psychological condition where a person feels like a body part, maybe it's their left arm, is really not part of their body. They see it as an intruder, and they go to the doctor and they say, will you cut off my healthy left arm? And they're convinced that that would make them complete, that would make them whole if they lost this appendage that really isn't part of their body. Well, anybody that thinks like that, they don't have a physical problem, they have a mental problem, just like anorexia. Anorexia is a mental issue. You just think in your mind something that's not true. And any doctor that would say, oh, okay, you want me to cut off your healthy left arm because that was going to make you happy, and they would participate in that, well, that doctor needs to be locked up. That doctor is on par with the butchers at Auschwitz, where doctors that use that term loosely, that were performing these just sick, grotesque, barbaric experiments on these Jewish patients and deforming them and mutilating them and all the things that they did to them to test this, to test that, to test the other. You know, in medicine, they say do no harm. That would obviously be harm. And any doctor, I agree with the uproar that says, hey, we need to go after these doctors. Chloe Cole, who is a big name in detransitioners, a young lady who was told a lie that she was really supposed to be a man, and she had her breasts removed, and she had all the hormone therapy and everything, and it's affected her tremendously. It's damaged her body. She finally came out of the ether and said, hey, you know what? I'm not a man trapped in a woman's body. God made me to be a woman, but now I've been damaged by these lies and by these doctors who fed me all this stuff, and they need to be prosecuted for their crimes. If a doctor doesn't know the difference from in their medical training between a male and a female, if they don't understand that, well, they have no business being a doctor. It doesn't take a whiz-bang to figure out that God made us male and female. And as I've said repeatedly on this program, you know, my three-year-old grandson, Jack, he knows the difference between boys and girls. He knows the difference when he goes to school. He knows who the boys are. He knows who the girls are. And, this EMT that was saying, well, it's much more complicated in biology than just chromosomes. No, it's not. It's not complicated at all. You know, we try and complicate things that are very, very simple. And, we try and complicate the gospel. The gospel is simple. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And how do you enter into a relationship with him? By grace through faith. It's not as a result of works that lest any man should boast. And the Lord purposely made it simple so a child could trust him as Savior and Lord. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And you hear the music, and so we're coming up against a break. And as I like to do on the program is reserve that third segment of the program for your calls. And so I'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, please give me a call, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I would love to talk to you. There's lots going on in our country today. Israel is back at war with Hamas. The ceasefire is over. And so we can talk about that. We can talk about what Donald Trump is doing, what Elon Musk is doing. Whatever's on your heart, give me a call and let's talk. If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life or the death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, the mother will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about transgender insanity that is taking place in different parts of our country, and maybe in the school district where your kids go to school. It's very important for parents to know what their kids are being taught. It's important for parents to be involved in the school district, in the school board meetings, and to, if you hear of things going on, you need to stand up and speak up and bring some supporters there. As we saw in Deerfield, Illinois, they had the other side, those who are advocating for transgender insanity, well, they load the decks. They bus them in. They're people that don't even have kids in the district, which to me seems like, well, that's just not right, not fair. You can't just do that. You're like paid agitators or paid supporters of a position. But parents need to get involved, and that's one way that we stand up and speak up for the truth. That's one way we stand up for Jesus. And just know that this is a spiritual battle. And so if we're not praying and praying over our schools, well, then we're going to be in a vulnerable spot, because the Word of God says in James chapter 4, you have not because you ask not. And you ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motive to spend it on your pleasures. And we need to pray God's hedge of protection, as Job did over his kids. We need to pray that hedge of protection over our children and over our schools, and that righteousness would prevail. And President Trump can sign executive orders, and we applaud him for doing that. But it's us in the trenches that have to see those things through. And we have to make sure, as Jenna was just talking about her program, we have to make sure when votes come down the, when there's an election, and a local election, a state election, we need to make sure we have candidates that are pro-life, pro-family values, pro-biblical values, that we're voting for the best of the two that are running for a particular office. We're finding out who stands, on the issues, where they stand on the issues, and we vote for the one that's going to be most in line with the Scripture. And if there's not one that's most in line with the Scripture, then we need to search our heart and say, does God want me to be that person, to stand up and be that person that would run for that office, whatever that office might be. Well, I wanted to finish the interview, or the back and forth that Matt Walsh had with this trans EMT worker, because he makes a good point. So he asked the question, you're an EMT worker, somebody calls and you get called, there's an issue, and the person who's a biological male says, I think I'm having a miscarriage. Would you check them for a miscarriage? And the person doesn't want to answer. This trans EMT person doesn't really want to answer, and then finally has to say, well, no, because they don't have the body parts for it. And then Matt follows up with this.
Sounds like we've established there are some people who in principle can get pregnant, and there are some people who can't. So there's two categories, otherwise known as binary.
Lots of women can't get pregnant either.
Yeah, but they're still of the nature to get pregnant. The only reason
they can't get pregnant.
Yes, but
truth matters, right?
It does. That's what I'm trying to explain to you.
Truth matters, and they can't get pregnant. That's the truth. So how are they still women?
Because they are for the same reason. That I can rightly say that human beings have two legs. And if a person is born with only one leg, that doesn't call into question the statement that human beings have two legs, okay? A person being born with one leg doesn't mean that now legs are on a spectrum, and we can't say anything at all about how many legs a person has. Who knows? They could be a centipede. They could have 100 legs. No, we know human beings have two legs. If a human is born without two legs, something went wrong. They were supposed to have that second leg. Something went wrong. If you meet a person on the street who only has one leg, maybe they had an accident. Maybe they were in war. Maybe they were in a car accident. Maybe they had cancer. A leg was cut off. But you know that something went wrong because by their nature, they're supposed to have two legs. Same thing for a woman. A woman by her nature can get pregnant. A man by his nature never can. So if you meet a woman of childbearing age, say she's 28 years old, and she can't get pregnant, you know automatically that something has gone wrong. And she can go to the doctor and find out what that thing is, even if they can't fix it. So that proves that women by their nature can get pregnant, because the simple fact that she can't shows you that there is something wrong. This is what is known as the exception that proves the rule. Whereas if a male with a penis can't get pregnant, no doctor on earth is going to run tests to see what's wrong with him. because they already know it's that he's a male and there's only male and female, those who can get pregnant and those who can't. So
good argument, and it's a slam dunk argument. How do you argue with that? You can't. And he's talking to a medical person who is trying to support the transgender insanity. It's an indefensible position. God made us male and female. The sooner we yield to that truth, the sooner we can enjoy life for ourselves, for our kids, for our communities. And it is not an issue that is going away. This kind only comes out, as Jesus said, by prayer and fasting, and we need to be praying about these things. So we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Jane on the line from Oregon. Jane, welcome to Real Truth for Today. All right, wait a minute. We're at Obi, I'm sorry, from West Virginia. Obi, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning, Jeff, and thank you once again so much for being willing to confront the moral issues that we're confronted with every day. I just wanted to applaud this woman that was willing to stand up for her daughter. I also want to applaud all the little gals, classmates that were willing to stand up against the forces that were coming against them. Pastor Jeff, I'm just amazed that where are the moms? Where are the dads? Where's the community? Where's the teachers that would be in agreement with these people? Where are they? Drastic times require drastic measures. Do what you've got to do to show up at these meetings. Do what you do to have an influence in your community, because there's too many people that are sitting on their butt complaining and doing nothing. And it astounds me with an issue that is so clear cut that so many people are sitting in the stands watching the show. And I find that very, very disturbing. Somehow this election said that, you know, a good many people don't believe this transgender nonsense. But where are they when it matters?
Yeah. Great point, Obi. You're exactly right. And parents in that school district, they need to come to those meetings. They need to let those school administrators know, hey, this is insane. We are expecting you to protect our kids, especially our daughters, from this kind of stuff. You're going to force them? They actually blocked them in, according to Riley Gaines. She posted and said they were blocking them in to the and making them dress in front of this biological male. Well, that is just, I mean, evil to the hilt. And no way would I allow my daughter to stay in a school like that. And so parents need to get involved. And the more people that stand up and say, no more, we're not going to entertain this any longer, and we're going to replace you on the school board, and we're going to replace the principal, and we're going to, you know, we're going to make changes, because if not, we're pulling our kids out. And it's a hardship on the parents. I realize that. But some hills are worth dying on, and that is definitely one that's worth dying on. So I appreciate it, Obi. We have Jane on the line from Oregon. Jane, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, this is an interesting subject, and I'm glad you brought it up because, well, for one thing, we ought to put it out there that if any of this happens again, the girls ought to say, okay, we'll disrobe, but you teachers have to do it too.
Yes.
The other thing is that we worked hard to get this election to go the way it should have gone as it went. And we just, now we're sitting back and we're not doing anything. Get on Twitter, get on Facebook, make phone calls to those schools. Talk to those people, write letters. We need to support these people. That's amazing that one mother is there working all by herself. What bravery she had.
Yes.
I wouldn't be able to do it. I can talk on the phone like this, but getting up in front of people, forget it. But anyway, I think we need to get the word out there that there are people behind you. Go ahead, do the right thing. Protect your daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, if anything like that happened to me when I was a kid, I would have just died. I don't know how I would survive it. My folks would have gone to bat. They would never have allowed it. But anyway, but I'm a war baby, right?
Well, I appreciate your stance on that, Jane, and you're exactly right. You know, we forget what it's like, a lot of us, what it's like to be a 13, 14-year-old kid, what it's like to be a middle schooler. I preached on Parenting Sunday, and in my studies, I ran across a statement from a friend of mine, Tim Kimmel, who wrote the book Grace-Based Parenting, and he said, we forget what it's like to be a kid. He said, for a kid, it's 24/7 a battle to not be embarrassed. And, you know, when I grew up, we didn't have cell phones. And so going to school, you could get embarrassed if your face was broken out and somebody teased you about it, or if your clothes, your shirt and pants didn't match very well, or so you did something stupid, you tripped in line or whatever, and people laughed at you. That was a horrifying thing. Kids today, I mean, everything is recorded on phones and put on social media. And so staying out of the embarrassment line is really, really critical. And forcing these girls to do something and they feel like, hey, I guess I got to go along because otherwise I'm going to stand out. People are going to, you know, throw stones at me, so to speak. And I'll just, you know, go along to get along, that kind of attitude. We can't do that. And we have to raise, as Christian parents, we have to raise our kids to know, hey, we are in a battle and we're in the Lord's army. And the enemy is not the principal or the administrators or your teacher. They're being used by the enemy. They're not the enemy. They're the mission field. The enemy is the devil, but you see how the devil is working through these situations. And so you're exactly right, Jane. We need to pray for our kids. We need to stand up. We need to support those who are in the front lines. You know, I have said repeatedly, we need to be praying for Donald Trump and his press secretary, Caroline Leavitt. She is great. And Elon Musk and Marco Rubio and Pete Hegseth and Tulsi Gabbard and Pam Bondi, all these people that are point people, J.D. Vance, all these that are point people to try and move America back to a place of sanity and to a place of law and order and right and wrong, moral right and wrong, because they're getting shot at. And it's easy to cheer them on from the cheap seats, but we need to really let them know, hey, we have your back. We're supporting you. We'll stand with you. That makes all the difference in the world. So I appreciate your call so much, and I know it's got to be tough to live in Oregon and be a conservative.
Well, not in this end of Oregon.
Oh, is that right?
Well, that's good. I'm not on the coast, believe me. I wouldn't be able to tolerate it out there.
Yeah, I'm very, very difficult. Yeah. Well, God bless you, and thanks for calling in today, Jane. I appreciate you. All right, we have Jerry on the line from Texas. Time for one last call. Jerry, go ahead. You're on Real Truth for today.
Pastor Jeff, you're really hitting home here. We have to go back to God's word, go back to the beginning. And, you know, God created man in his image and likeness, he created Adam, first man, and then he gave Adam a helpmate, not a slave, a helpmate. He took a rib from man and gave him a helpmate, Eve, woman. And then man, both male and female, sinned. They disobeyed God, both male and female. And so before man sinned, then God gave a Savior. So if we go back to the Word, God created family in the beginning, and he both male and female. And when they are in the oneness of God, they're in a relationship with God. But when man sins, then man becomes separated from God. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this really speaks to my heart. The word that, you know, woman is taken from the rib of man as God intended, that they be in that oneness of love. That's what speaks to my heart. And you touched upon it this morning through God's word.
Amen. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that. It's exactly right. And, you know, woman wasn't taken from man's foot. She wasn't taken from man's bone and flesh from man's foot or from his head. taken right from his side by his heart so he could love her and cherish her and nourish her and protect her and provide for her. That's what a husband is to do for his wife. He is to love her. Three times in Ephesians 5, he's commanded to love her. A wife is commanded to respect her husband. And when a husband does his role and a wife does her role, they have a wonderful relationship. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for Israel as the bombing has begun again in Gaza. And God will answer as we pray. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.